This is KE2GDQ, listening for any calls.
KE2GDQ, this is K2PCB. Good morning.
Good morning, K2PCB. How are you today? It's another chilly one, but how are you doing today?
You know, it's interesting that I stepped outside this morning and one of the neighbors was out there letting his dog out. Our apartment complex now allows pets for quite a premium extra charge to your rent. Either way, yeah, he was out there, and I was actually talking to him saying, you know, even though it's 20 degrees out, it sort of feels warm today. I don't know why that was, but it is still cold, but it's not bad. It's Thursday. Today's typically a fast day for me. Mondays are fast and Thursdays are fast. So in that respect, I'm looking forward to it. Looking ahead, I do have my antenna arriving tomorrow. I don't see myself setting it up necessarily this weekend besides just going through everything that's in the kit and checking it out. So that's exciting. I have 3D modeled and started printing some cable winders, kind of like you would with kite string for radials. I've been calculating some radio lengths needed for the bands that want to operate, so doing that. All in all, it's, days are cruising right along. How are things with you?
Well, this month seems to be flying by. Been pretty busy doing a lot of different things. So I did hook up the antenna analyzer, the MFJ-269, to this antenna, and I got on 145 megahertz, I got a 1.1, and 149 megahertz, it's 1.6:1. And 440 megahertz, it's 1.2:1, and 446 megahertz, it's 1.3:1. So I think it's looking pretty good.
I don't think you're going to have any issues hurting the radio with that setup there. Between the insulation and putting the ends on the coax, which I think we already knew because of the performance, but just gives you that peace of mind that everything was done right. Well, that's awesome. You probably don't want to calculate loss because you'll not like that, but as long as you're getting out right now, that's what counts. That's cool.
Yeah, this is on the antenna that you've loaned me, so I feel pretty good about that. I also want to know about the Anderson power pole connectors. Is there a special crimper that you need to use those?
Need is a strong word. You can crimp them, and I just use standard, the cheap wire strippers that's got the crimping in there, and I have crimped. I tend to not just crimp. I like to crimp and solder, or just go straight to solder. I'm always been a fan of solder over crimping. I know the military doesn't frown upon crimping. Crimping with a proper crimp tool is a perfectly acceptable connection method. Maybe because you're introducing a lot of variability with solders. I guess you can get cold solder joints. This forces the metals to be in firm contact rather than bridging a gap with an alloy. So you could convince me, but it would take a lot of work. I tend to use solder. But definitely a strong advocate for Anderson power poles.
Yeah, because I got to thinking long time ago, doing stuff with my parents, they had a quote, emergency, unquote, CV radio. and an emergency CB radio, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I've got this power supply here. It's got Anderson power poles on the front. Maybe I would just hook it up just to see what I can hear.
And if it already has a connector on it, I mean, you could make a little adapter that goes from that connector to the Anderson power pole, so you could still maintain the original connector. Is this a base station, or is this a mobile unit?
It's a mobile unit. It's got a cigarette lighter or cigar lighter plug on the end of it. So yeah, that would be easy enough to make an adapter for that.
Oh yeah, I've got a handful of those kind of adapters, you know, for whatever I need. Of course, if, you know, a TV is going to be fine. That does not draw that much current. Once you get into the higher wattage ham radios, you do have to watch out because your cigarette lighter plug is typically rated for 10 amps. And you can easily pull more than that with an HF transceiver.
Yeah, that seemed to be one of the, questions that kept coming up for the general exam, was that particular thing. Yeah, this is just a little portable unit. You know, what I may do is just take it out to my truck someday and just sit there and listen. Is Salty Walt, what is it, K004, anyway, he's a YouTuber. He calls it just the 11-meter band. He doesn't really try to call it CV. It's the 11-meter band.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been on the 11-meter band. Jay Smith and Dave Camp used to be big users of the 11-meter band. I was in there for a while. I couldn't tell you how long it's been since I've listened in, but obviously people have some really good success, there's no reason, on 10 meters, 17 meters, you can get these really long wave connections, and then I always thought, this person really isn't where they're from, and I'm hearing them, but it's true. With the right antenna, you can, even with low power, you can get pretty far.
There's a bunch of guys that are on a repeater, the WA2HKS repeater. It's like 440 megahertz. There's a bunch of those guys that are doing GMRS as well, and they talk about that. Oh yeah, I was over on GMRS chatting with so-and-so and whatnot. When I can't remember what frequency that is or, what band, but I know that they talk about that. And a lot of people I've heard talk about, oh yeah, I started off in CB, years ago and then, got into this part of the spectrum.
That's definitely one dangerous gateway drug, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's what Salty Walt called it, gateway drug. One, you don't need a license. Equipment seems to be relatively cheap. It is. I mean, I did it in high school. I was on it pretty regularly up in my bedroom. I would had a base station there and talking to people all the time.
I know Larry was into it for a while. I don't know when he took his antenna down. I think he said he took it down and put it back up. But at the same time that he's studying for his ham license, he is also wanting to put the 11-meter back up as well, so he can, just get back into the radio hobby in general and get back into all of it.
Yeah, I can understand that. Hopefully Larry takes his test soon and can get on the air. I talked to Jose Tuesday night, I don't know how enthused he is about getting it. I think he wants to, but I think he's being held back. Something's holding him back. I'm not sure what it is.
I think it's the the desire to get it is, I don't think it's necessarily to learn electronics and be part of the radio hobby. My feeling, and it could be completely wrong, but what I gathered was it was more about preparedness and having that in his back pocket. And I think the first round test results were pretty crushing and offset that desire, which may have not have been very high in the first place. So, yeah.
KC2NVM, good morning. If I can interject, as the fear of failure, thinking just how hard the exam was going to be. And there's a reason there's study guides, and you go to a class and you learn, and then you're supposed to do a lot more of work on your own once you leave the classroom, and all the practical exams on your phone just constantly just take a test, and you get to see all the answers, and then you can actually learn something.
Absolutely, I agree. It's all of that, 100%. This is K2PCB. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I popped into the PCB node. See if I drop out at any time like I did yesterday in mid-conversation.
Oh, was that the first time you were into the PCB node in a while?
I can't honestly say because I don't usually wear my glasses when I'm driving, and I just hit the area where the two are, and it just happens to connect to whichever one.
The PCB node, Travis, is that the one that was on your desk when I was there? And that I was listening to down at the other end of the building?
No, negative. That's an additional node to the cluster that's normally not connected in. The hub he's referring to is the... Well, actually, there are two nodes that I have at home that are always running. The hub is what he would connect into, or could connect into, and or Ross's node from Echolink. If he connects into Ross's node, anytime he transmits, he's out on the air from Ross's house, you can hear him all the time. If he connects into my hub, he is only getting access to what I am connected to through my main node, which during the morning drive time here, I am connected to Ross. If I am, like, next Tuesday I'm on PTO, I will be not connected into Ross, so he'll definitely have to use the KC2PET node. The one at work is completely independent. I have to manually connect that out into this cluster if I want it to be into here.
Okay, that makes sense. It was just, yeah, ML makes sense.
Okay, K2GDQ,
KCBCB. Anybody still there? I heard an electrical sound and then nothing.
Okay, guys, I'm actually using that Brad was referring to. I'm a little far away from it. This is on my desk. I'm transmitting into it from my truck. I'm making it back at K2PCB.
Yes, Travis, we heard you. I heard an electrical sound like a beep. And then nothing for a bit, and then you popped in, and then over on top of, I heard Brad.
Okay, that's good. That tells me that the node is still working. That's awesome. Like I said, I'm a little far away, but hopefully it works. It does work here, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely working. One time when I was at work, I took my handheld, and I got down probably almost halfway to Hinchy before I lost the signal, and that was just on a handheld. So, I think it's got pretty good range.
Considering it's in a Faraday cage.
Now, when I installed it, I was envisioning, you know, listening to it on a much more regular basis. These days, it does not get much airplay. It makes sense. You know, it is one more distraction, and in order to process what I need to do every day, I do need to stay a little focused. Yeah, I wish I had time or had a work environment where I could just have it on in the background, but I think it would bother too many people. It'd be cool to put on, like, the HubNet or, you know, the PSRG nets and listen to those. Even the Morning Brew would be cool.
Yeah, listening to the Morning Brew is pretty cool. And sometimes I do get into the conversation quite a bit. So, yeah, it could take away from your attention to projects or something that you're working on at your desk. I could see that.
And it's different than just having a scanner on where you are, you know, not actively, you know, connected. Where with All-Star, you are linked in, you're using data, depending on how you're connected in, and yeah, there's something to be said for that, using the internet to deliver content and have it not heard. Yeah, that's kind of silly. Anyway, I've got 6:44, so I'm going to step out, let Jeff pop back in here, and I assume Ross pop in as well. This is KTPCB. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Good morning, Travis. We'll see you on the inside. I'm still heading down Central. Just got past the Catcher Pool and working my way to get you.
73s to K2PCB. Hey, Jeff, are you going to be at the club tonight?
Yes. I plan on going early, like right from work. They're calling it a 5 and below. I guess Tim, one of the guys that buys and sells stuff, bought a Silent Keys possessions and is now going to be pouring them out at the club for $5 and below. So there's nothing super great, like not a lot of UHF, VHF, but there's all kinds of other stuff. He said he would not answer questions over the internet and he would not hold anything, so get there early and bring exact change if you can. Those his words, not mine.
Yeah, I saw his email, and it sounds intriguing. Yeah, I'm just wondering how early he's going to. It sounds like there's going to be a ton of people there early. You know, I don't know how early I'd be able to get there, but I plan on going just to see what might be left by time I get. If there's anything left by time I get there, but yeah, it sounds like. There's just a lot of maybe some test equipment and some accoutrements.
Yeah. I don't go there looking to spend money. Every once in a while something jumps in my pocket, but it's twofold. I get a new toy and the club gets a couple dollars. But anyway, I did bring my bag of tricks with me. I'll probably bring it into the building because I don't want it to get super cold. But, yeah.
How early do they open up the club on Thursdays?
Any time after 3, I think there might be people wandering around. Some guys want to get there early, make sure to set stuff up. But I don't know any definitive time. But I've never been turned away or never been nobody's here. There's always seemed to be somebody there on Thursday.
Okay. I was always under the impression that they just opened up a little before 7, but from the sounds of Tim's email, it sounds even earlier than that. So, okay. Just trying to adjust what I do today and what time I get there.
Yeah, I'm going to go straight from here and then maybe not spend all night there. But, yeah, that's my plan.
Well, hopefully I'll see you there tonight then.
Okie doke. And on that note, it's 6:49. I'm going to go to work. 73s, and talk to you hopefully later today. KC2NVM.
73s, KC2NVM. This is KC2GDQ, and we're monitoring.